He's still trying to convince Democrats he can do 4 more years. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. President Biden will take off for Wisconsin this hour and sit down today for an ABC TV news interview the day after telling supporters at the White House he isn't going anywhere, though some Democrats think the president should exit the 2024 race after his bad debate performance. Congressman Jared Huffman tells CNN,
I do know that we're also not on a winning trajectory, and I think we've got to be honest about that. So we need a reset.
Just before the president's trip to Wisconsin, the state Supreme Court, in a ruling this morning, reinstated most ballot drop boxes across the state for the November election after they were banned in 2022 at all places except election clerk offices. We got a statement from President Biden this morning reacting to the jobs report.
The president says there is more work to do, but in a statement says wages are growing faster than prices and more Americans are joining the workforce. The statement follows the Labor Department's June jobs report that shows employers added 206,000 jobs last month, a slight decrease from May. The unemployment rate also ticked up from 4% to 4.1%. That is due in part to a sharp increase in Americans who started job searches in June.
Fox's Jared Halpern. And a mixed reaction on Wall Street. The Dow's down 27 points, but the Nasdaq's gaining 78, hitting at another record high this morning. Britain has a new prime minister.
Changing a country is not like flicking a switch. The world is now a more volatile place. This will take a while.
Keir Starmer's Labour Party won a parliamentary election landslide, forcing out conservative British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who resigned this morning saying he's sorry. Hurricane Beryl's been hammering Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula for hours, hitting resort areas like Cancun. Texas maybe next.
Winds there at 85 miles an hour on Monday morning. That is a Category 1 hurricane, likely going to bring at least some storm surge. And then, of course, it's going to be bringing some rain as well.
Fox meteorologist Adam Klotz. Beryl did a lot of damage on Caribbean islands like Jamaica. America's listening to Fox News.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ORDER to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ORDER to 42424. That's ORDER.
Good Friday morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. A 33-year-old man died when his motorcycle collided with a Chevrolet Silverado on Wednesday night. Yuma police officers responded to an injury collision at 32nd Street and Pacific Avenue just before 10:30 Wednesday night. The motorcycle rider was taken to Yuma Regional Medical Center, where he later died. No other injuries were reported, and the case is still under investigation. Lieutenant Marco Santana has retired after 21 years of service with the San Luis Police Department, starting as a patrol officer in 2003.
Broadcasting Americanism from
way up to a commanding position. He says he's not entirely sure what the future holds, but he would like to do more work with his Catholic Church and spend more time with his wife and two teen daughters. Join us on the TV side every weekday for News 11 at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. I'm Scott Gross.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACYuma.com studios. 560 KBLU. Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. 8:04 in the morning on July 5th.
How come you're not off work? What are you doing here? Everybody took off today.
No, are you kidding me?
A lot of people did.
You know what's interesting in our industry? We're going to have a couple of issues because lots of affiliated, I don't want to say affiliated, upline and downline businesses are closed, so it's going to make some of our jobs more difficult. We've got people that want to close today, want their keys, and there are some participants in the transaction.
And here's what I heard. The today is not an official holiday.
It is not.
But it's every American's right to take the fifth. That's what I heard.
You know what? We're allowed to take the fifth. But based on what you're saying, though, you know why it's not an approved federal holiday?
Because it's the day after.
No, banks can't be closed 4 days in a row. Financially, you can't take the system offline 4 days in a row. So you can have a three-day
holiday. So banks are open.
So federally, you can fund and send wires through the system, through the Federal Reserve System today. It's a question of, A, whether, you know, title and escrow companies are open nationwide, whether you have some other interested party in the transaction who they may be closed. But from a banking institution, can't be closed 4 days in a row.
Wow.
So you can give your people off, but you still have to be able to
open and take transfers and do some other stuff. So, the office has to be
so
there.
You know, that check that you wrote that you're hoping wasn't getting cash today could actually get cash today, Russ. So be careful of that.
I don't write checks before you plead the fifth.
Okay, so what did you do yesterday?
I met with my daughter and grandkids last night, you know, when it got dark, at the Sears parking lot.
Wasn't that incredible?
Yeah, she got off work late and couldn't make it into, you know, in a decent time because the roads were backed up going to the Civic Center. Great crowds, great people, but if you didn't get there early and she got off late
somewhere else,
she got off late, so she let's just stop at Sears and take the kids there. So I met her over there, and we saw the country clubs. You could see the country clubs fireworks first. And then eventually the city's fireworks, and
which was honestly a great spot to launch them from.
Yeah.
You know, they were launching from Arroyo Dunes.
Right.
Right. And so what you were just talking about, as I passed by, you had the whole Sears parking lot, which is now going to be the fitness place. You had, I mean, whether it was Toys R Us or the Circle K, the COFA parking
lot. Everything was packed.
Everything was packed.
So many illegal fireworks. I never imagined the amount, and I say illegal because the ones that if it leaves the ground,
it's not approved.
There were people firing them in the Sears parking lot. these were quasi-professional. You know, they weren't as big, but they were like the big rockets. Mm-hmm. But rather than shooting them straight up, they were shooting them across the, like 50 feet above the air.
All over town.
They were aiming them at people.
Yeah, I heard things going off till 2 in the morning. And, you know, I get it.
It's kind of dangerous.
11:30. If it's 1 or 2 in the morning, there are people that have to go to work the next day.
Yeah.
So
that's what I hear.
You know, now the question is, how many of those illegal fireworks do you find all of the paper and the cardboard and the things laying on your yard?
Oh, it's trashed everywhere. Yeah. We got, and I
so
read,
that's what you did last night, though.
Yeah.
And it was a good show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a good show during the day. And
do your grandkids, and I'm sure your daughter does because of your family, do your grandkids understand what that means, the birth of our nation, what those symbolize?
They go to private schools, and Brad's a Marine.
Well, you didn't answer yes. you kind of skirted the question.
That's
there.
That's a yes.
You know, and so yesterday morning, and I appreciate you again announcing some of those things, what did the Caballeros do yesterday morning?
They retired a flag.
Okay.
First off, before the flag raising ceremony and the speech from the colonel over at the military base at Marine Corps Air Station.
Do you know, it's interesting that I had two news organizations, and there was actually a film crew there for something, shooting some additional stuff. All three of them came up and said, wow, we've never actually seen that. Is that an official thing? Isn't it interesting that you have, whether it's news organizations or film crews, that most people have never seen a flag retirement ceremony?
Right.
And, you know, it's just things you have to pay attention to. And so kind of straddling the 4th of July, we have to be more cognizant of learning how to properly and respectfully retire flags and fly flags and some of the symbolisms that are meaning behind them. But it's also paying attention to things that are happening economically. So are you thinking that most people who saw the fireworks took them to heart and they really understand the blood, sweat, and tears that went into the birth of this country? Or is it a cool thing to go take the kids to and now let's go home and have some ice cream?
Cool thing to take kids to, probably.
And that's, you know, again, I was like that for a long time. I'm sure, you know, growing up, you were probably like that for a long time. Heck, you still haven't grown up. You're probably
still
like that.
Pretty much a child.
But if you look around, there's some things that we need to pay attention to. So, you know, whether you're retiring a flag, please, if it's tattered, if it's torn, please replace it. But there's a process or groups of people who would help you retire that.
I need you to ask Philby for me, and Rob Hillby retired a flag, but how do you retire an LGBTQ flag?
That I don't know. Okay, I only know how to retire a United States of America.
I just want to see the look on his face when you ask him, you know. Because he takes
I'll tell you what, as a 30-year retired colonel,
he takes it with great reverence, man.
I would like to see you ask him that, because I want to see how that turns out.
I don't need any lectures today.
I don't know that it would be a lecture.
Well, no, the flag of the United States is a federally sanctioned flag of country, mm-hmm. and it's going to you know, require the reverence and everything and the ceremony.
There is a U.S. code that actually talks about
correct
retiring a flag,
but not talking about any other flag, an ornamental flag or anything else. It has nothing to do with
just that singular.
You handle that any way you want.
Yeah. So the reason I bring that up is it's interesting that, you know, looking at that and seeing some things mean things to people when you actually pay attention to it, and other people just kind of gloss over it. And I look at numbers. I'm a data guy. I, you know, trying to be analytical, not emotional, just tactical about things. And you see all these data points that the media puts out about the economy and inflation and unemployment. And I think we just kind of hear those and our eyes roll back in our heads, and then you just don't pay any attention to it. So I found some charts this week that are actually jaw-dropping to me. And I know it's on radio, so you can't really see it. But if I said multiple job holders in the United States, so one adult who has at least two jobs,
okay,
where in history do you think that would be the most prevalent?
70s.
In the 70s, okay. Do you know, as of right now, we have actually peaked, and this, as of this moment right now, we are proportionally the highest number of multiple job holders ever in the country.
And why is that?
Well,
I mean, I know. Wow, it went way down during COVID.
Okay,
yeah.
Why did it go way down during COVID?
Because everything
was
closed.
Everything was closed, but everybody got the additional stimulus checks.
Right, you got the money. No,
as you have the money coming in, you don't need to work the second job, or the jobs were closed. But now that has ended, we've now shot up like a rocket. This looks like one of Elon Musk's rockets going to space straight up. And we have now peaked, and we have the highest number of people.
A couple things go into that. And I know when they released the jobs numbers today, they talked about it. You know, like how many of those are part-time jobs? Because a lot of companies are cost savings for doing part-time jobs, because you don't pay the benefits, you don't have vacations, you don't have all that kind of stuff in it. So some of these people, I'm sure, are working two part-time jobs.
I'm so happy you asked that, because here's my next chart. This chart is the number of full-time two-job workers.
Okay.
Now, if you look here, we've dipped just slightly, but we're literally at the highest number ever of adults working two full-time jobs.
You can't do that. That's 80 hours a week, or 31.
I've done it before in my lifetime.
Yeah.
So, but no, I don't think most people work two full-time jobs because they want to.
No.
I think they do it because they have to. There's obligations. But so to your point, yeah, I think there's a lot of people who do. I would call it the, you know, hey, I got a side gig. The gig economy, where you've got your job, but then you're going to go deliver for Instacart or Grubhub or Uber and stuff like that. You might have a side gig, but no, this chart is two full-time jobs.
What percentage of the people? What percentage? That's got to be less than 5%.
This says 4.72%.
Okay. All right. Then that's the max. But that's a lot of people.
So one out of every 20 people you might meet that is of working age.
I won't have any chance to meet them because they're going to be working.
Or they're going to bring their car to you and you're going to go drop them off.
Yeah.
So you look at these data points, you say, geez, that's, you know, one out of every 20. That's a lot of people who are working potentially two full-time jobs.
That's amazing.
Now, that's a data point to watch. Does it mean people are doing that because they're investing in savings more? Or does it mean they're doing that to keep up? Now, here's an interesting chart. And I wish I could show these, but if anybody wants a copy of them, you can call me at the office. I can email them to you. This chart is credit card delinquencies.
Oh, that's gone way up.
That every, and this is, the, here's what's interesting. This is broken out by age bracket, 18 to 29, 30 to 39, 40 to 49, et cetera, all the way up the gamut. Now, we're not where we were at the height of the crash back in 07, 08. But if you notice, we've shot up to the second highest level ever in that the 18 to 29-year-old range. Now, what age bracket of that same bracket sees the highest percentage increase in income?
An increase in income?
Yeah. Think of it. You
For 35, 40?
No, the same age bracket. The 16 to 24-year-olds have the highest statistical increase percentage-wise in income. Because you're coming into the labor market, you're advancing your skills, you're getting a promotion. I mean, let's pretend somebody was a average crew member at a restaurant, and you work there a couple of years, and now you take an assistant manager spot. That's generally a pretty good increase. So it makes logical sense. But if you say that 18 to 29-year-olds are now defaulting, 22%. Have a credit card in default.
Maybe we don't train them on how to handle finances. Maybe we don't talk about.
Why do you think we're on air here right now?
That's disgusting. Okay. I mean, that's a horrible. And what do we have? Like $1.2 trillion now in credit card debt.
Yeah, it's going.
It's amazing.
And you're right on that number. But here's my but. You ready?
Yeah.
All this, I need to put multiple data points together, and I want everybody else in this show to. Most people, I'm guessing, don't understand what some of these buy now, pay later programs are. If I said to you, buy now, pay later,
I run.
What do you deem that to be?
Oh, that's these stores that have like a stereo system or a vacuum cleaner or something, like, you know, it's $10 a week or $15 a week type stuff.
Okay, so you're thinking the old layaway program.
I'm thinking you take it home.
Okay,
but you pay so much a week.
So the two that everybody knows or probably knows the name Afterpay, Klarna, those two, you go into stores,
I don't know the terms, but.
You can see, right, most stores have it right there on their advertising, like, hey, you can get this now and pay it off in 4 equal payments, paid off in 6 equal payments, like you're talking
some
about.
Of that's interest-free okay if you're disciplined.
If you're disciplined and you pay it off.
I've done those before.
Now, do those show up on a credit report?
I don't know.
They do not. So these defaults that we just talked about,
they're on there.
These defaults don't account for these afterpays. Now, if you're telling me that the average person, and when I say average, we're going to get to this, the average person uses these.
Nobody wants to be average.
But everybody's using them. So, Russ, for the audience who can't see, is this a map of the globe?
Yes.
Okay. This map is color-coded by a heat index that shows the percentage of the populations that use Afterpays, Klarna, as the buy now, pay laters.
I'm surprised.
Now, the number one country in the world per 100,000 people, Australia, is currently using between 50 and 100,000 people have that. So in excess of 50% of their population, they say, are using Afterpay, Klarna, something like
Why?
That.
Why?
Well,
is that culturally?
Who's the second darkest red?
That's us or China?
Us.
Okay.
So we are currently about 50% of the population in the United States is using a Klarna and Afterpay.
It's that high?
Yes. So now put all these things together.
I'm going to have to start doing it.
You are. Because can you imagine how many more tires you could sell?
That's right.
Buy 4, pay for 1 this month, 1 next month.
That would make me a credit collector. I'd have to go out and knock on doors.
If you put these two things together, okay, here's some data points that I want to look at. I think people have gotten so accustomed to it's easy to spend money and take on debt and not pay attention to how the budget works.
It's only $10 a week or $20 a week.
Or you hear no interest.
No
interest. If you pay it off here.
Right.
No late payments if you do this.
But then when you mess it up, and you will. Instead of repaying the $500 it costs for that speaker, it's going to be $1,000.
Could be. Now, come back to, if you're telling me that 20%, in excess of 20% of the population that is 18 to 29 has credit card defaults, but we haven't even talked about what interest is accruing and what things they have out on some of these buy now, pay later programs.
And they're going to have you because they have all your information. They got your credit. I mean, they can ruin your credit, too. They may not be in your, in your numbers, but once you default, they're going to add
it. Goes into a collection.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when you say approximately 50% of the people in the United States have one of those, you know, Russ, do you have one?
No.
I don't have one. So at least two people listening to this, if we two don't, two other people do, and you think, wait a minute, is the economy based on still spending when we don't have the money?
Yes.
And all of a sudden now you start saying, okay, wait a minute, there's some data points I need to pay attention to. And there's some things that, you know what, maybe there's some buying opportunities later. Maybe there's some things that we got to pay attention to in terms of budgeting. And that's still my biggest thing when I sit down with people. I'm not trying to be judgmental at all because, trust me, I've screwed up the budgets as much or more than anybody. But how many people do you see budget for their auto repairs, Russ?
None.
Are you kidding me? They, you know, what is the second biggest purchase most people make?
Car.
And yet you're telling me that most people don't budget for repairs?
No, they don't even budget for a new car.
Okay, what about tires and oil change?
No.
What's an average set of tires cost?
That's $500-$600.
Okay, $500-$600. What's, you know, you see most of these big F-150s, F-250s running around?
$600-$800, depending on what it is, you know.
So you could hit $800 to $1,000 fairly easily.
Oh, well, and if you want to go into specific, you know, some tires would be more than that, but yeah.
Ooh.
Depends on you start getting into the exotics and stuff.
Okay, so again, that budgeting perspective, you just say, wait a minute, you know, how often do you replace tires? Every 3 years?
Way too often.
4 years? 2 years?
I drive hard every couple years.
Okay, so every 2 years, if it was $800, so that's $400 a year, you need to be budgeting $35 a month just off to an account.
Yeah.
And I know nobody does it that
no.
way. But if you're telling me that 20% of the young people are defaulting on their credit cards and 50% of the population is using buy now, pay laters, there's no data point I've looked for the week. I can't find a data point that says what portion of those buy now, pay laters have penalties or interest or any of those things. So let's chew on that for a little bit. Russ is queuing up a break. We will be right back after the break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
I was on the wrong. They took...
All right, Yuma, good morning one more time. Derek Hagerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage. Russ Clark in studio. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Hey, so we're still looking for buttons?
I don't have them. My computer has lost its brain.
Well, you know what? As long as you and I haven't lost our brains, which I'm not sure we had any in the first place.
If we did, we wouldn't know it. That's the whole trick.
Isn't that amazing?
We wouldn't know.
Perfect.
We would think everybody else is crazy.
We do, I think.
Oh, wow. So we could have lost it.
We could have lost it. So here's another data point that now, again, this is one that irks me to no end because it's prefaced in a way. Remember how we talked about adjectives and adverbs? Everybody colors things the way they want it to in the media. And I'm sure you and I do, too.
Of course. And we know what we know. I mean, we studied, learned, and worked socially. That's in our brains. That's what we do.
When I hear people say, oh, houses are unaffordable right now. Oh, it's you know, the price to income ratio is too high. Well, how do you define that? Because we all don't live in the exact same house.
No.
So when you say price to income, maybe that's a desirable factor. Maybe people bought in an area at a time that they shouldn't. Well, or you know, conversely, there's a lot of people that the price to income ratio is way lower than the stats, because if this is the average, you and I know some people have to be above it and some people have to be below it. That's how an average works.
Sure.
So when I hear this, you know, now in total, yes, this makes complete sense. So if you say, hey, back in 2026, the run up got up to 3.5 times your annual salary was what the house payment was. In 2010, it dropped to 2.8. Okay. So under 3% of your income, or excuse me, under 3 times your income is what was being spent on a house. So ideally, you make 50 grand a year, times that by 3, you're buying a home that's about $150,000 in sales price, okay. Right? So as of right now, what do you believe the chart would show house price to income ratio?
3%.
No.
It's not?
Way higher. 4.931.
No, it's not 5.
4.931.
It is?
So it's not 5. It's 4.931. What this chart is saying is the, and if you average the whole thing out, total income to total
but home price. But if you're making, you know, $50,000 now, you're talking about a $250,000 house. With this interest rate, I don't know how you're going to pay that. On that kind of money.
Oh, you just said something different. Now you just extrapolated and said with this interest rate. This doesn't tell us, are they looking at today's interest rate? Are they looking at
this could be something they bought 5 years ago.
Well, no, not necessarily. But I think this is within the last 12 calendar months. So, yes, there is an interest rate environment in it. But are you also looking at, wait a minute, we've talked about it before. When we had the crash before, and prices were just before we crashed. Okay, you're not buying the McMansions. Right. You're not going to go buy this, but you're going to buy a neighborhood one or two steps below. There's nothing that says you have to buy that house. You know, again, if you said, what's minimum wage? Russ, let's just do some simple math.
It's about 14 bucks an hour or okay. So.
Can we round it to 15 so the math
sure.
is easy?
Yeah.
Double it, add 3 zeros. So $15 an hour is about 30 grand a year.
Okay.
So a married couple both making just minimum wage,
60.
That's 60 grand a year.
Yeah.
Now, times that by 3, that's 180,000 for a house. Times it by 4, that's about 240,000 for a house. Can you find homes that are 200 to 240 here
yeah.
in Yuma?
Yeah.
Yes, you absolutely can. So to go 5 times and you say, okay, 6 times 5 is 3, yeah. So that's 300,000. Do you need to go to 300,000 for your first home if you can find good quality living for 240? You don't need to.
No, you don't need to, but some people are going to push, well, what's the maximum house I can buy?
Here's the data point that's not in this. Is it a want? Is it, hey, I'm buying safe housing for my family? Or is it a need? Because I don't need that Ferrari, but there's people who want that Ferrari and then they go get it. So, you know, that's the one thing when I look at some of these data points, is it true data, analytical data, or is it colored in a way, or is the headline colored in a way to make people think one way or the other? So when this comes out, says home price to income ratio, shouldn't that be choice of home price to income ratio?
Yes.
You know, because again, Russ, do you drive the car that you could? Meaning, could you go buy a brand new vehicle today?
Yeah.
Okay, but you're not.
No.
But we could put something on paper that says the average sales price of a car to income ratio. It doesn't mean that that's what Russ is driving. It means that's where you could be. And that's what you look at some of these data points. Okay, wait a minute. When the younger 18 to 29-year-olds are at a 20-plus percent default rate on their credit cards, one out of five has defaults. That's a scary stat.
Yep.
When you combine that with the proportion of the population, 50% of the population is using Afterpay, Klarna, the buy now, pay laters. Proportionally, do you believe that's a younger person's vehicle for financing or a
older person? I think it's younger. Am I right?
I think you're right, too. Okay. I don't have any data on that. But I think you would not go in and do a buy now, pay later.
No.
I think you would either put it on your credit card and pay it off.
I know people my age that have done it.
Sure. I'm not saying it doesn't. I mean,
and I've done it on some things. If it's like three payments, no interest, I might. But then I would always pay. It would just be an automatic.
You know what I mean? And yet a lot of companies, let's say hypothetically you went to one of these hardware stores and you did the 0% interest for 12 months.
Yeah.
You know you're still applying for their credit card that shows up as a credit card.
I have a Home Depot credit card.
Okay. And so if you did their 12 months no interest, you still have a credit card. It's not one of these buy now, pay laters because that actually reports.
Oh,
And so that's where the juggling act comes in for me is you say, wait a minute, if 20% of the people who are just getting into the job market and just establishing themselves financially are going into default, we need to do a little bit more poking them and say, hey, wait a minute, let's budget just a little bit. Let's make sure we make some really good decisions.
You mean like the $1,200 iPhone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have is that monthly or a single cost? Well,
they'll have them.
Okay. And there's a monthly service that goes along with them. As you and I have talked about, there's hundreds of dollars of apps that most people have.
Right.
And we don't really pay attention to how that money flows out super fast, amazingly fast, that it's not, hey, at the end of the month, the electric bill came in the mail and now you got to pay the electric bill. Or you set it up as an automatic payment. You see that coming out. A lot of these things, it's just nickel and dime and nickel and dime.
Mm-hmm.
No different than, you know, when Cindy drove to the office here today, did she stop at Starbucks or McDonald's or anything else?
And she says no.
Let's go check
her car.
Yeah, let's go through her budget. You know, and again, I specifically use those two names. There's no disrespect to Starbucks or McDonald's. There's a great service. They do a great job. And as long as it's in the budget, who cares?
It's your lifestyle.
Here, I brought a cup of coffee in. Where did I make this?
At home.
Nope, at the office.
At the office.
You know, two pots of coffee in the office.
But at the end of the day, they'll come into you and they'll say, I don't know where my money goes.
But, you know, again, what did my son and I do Wednesday night? So he's got his job. He's working. He wanted to go do something. He's like, Dad, can I take you out? Let's go get a coffee.
He took you out?
Okay.
He paid for it.
You know, he paid for it with his check, although we drove my car, so it's my gas. So I think I might have spent more to get there than he did.
Yeah.
But again, there's the treat. You got the money. It's budgeted for. You don't have any responsibilities. Great. It's just interesting that when I go back and all these data points really validate what I see on people's bank statements. When I go through somebody's bank statements and you say, okay, Russ, you're going to need $10,000 to close on your home for the down payment closing costs.
Yep.
And you say, oh, geez, Derek, I only have $2,200. Great. Let's go look through the bank statements and see where we can adjust things over the next 4, 5, 6 months to save some money. And then I look through your bank statement and Russ goes out to eat three times a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner. He stops.
I eat a lot.
He does. That's why he needs to go to the gym more often. But those things are very prevalent. And if it was only eating out, great. If that's your cost-saving mechanism because you don't have to cook at home and you're not going grocery shopping and doing the things, but then you see the very large grocery store bills and things like that, that, wait a minute, there's grocery store bills, there's eating out. Oh, it looks like we've gone out to play items, whether it's whatever it is.
The movies or whatever, golf.
Yeah. Okay.
Greg does golfing.
Greg?
No. Wilkinson. He just left here to go golfing.
Is he going right now?
Probably.
You think it's budgeted for?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
He can afford it. He's done.
If he can afford the shirt he was wearing, I'm sure he can afford the round of golf.
It was a $10 shirt.
It looked like it. But it was a good-looking shirt. But as you go through these things and you say, wait a minute, None of these data points prove you can or can't afford anything. All of this is garbage.
Yes. It doesn't prove anything, but we know the trends. And when the trends are changing like they are, where it's growing so rapidly, we've got trouble.
There's the data point that I want to pay attention to. Is I'm not saying there is or isn't a crash. I'm not saying there is or isn't a correction. I'm not saying people should or shouldn't spend money. But it's singular. It's one person at a time. I don't care whether if you say 20% of the younger people have defaulted on credit cards, okay, 8 out of 10 are doing it right. So those 8 out of 10 are moving in the right direction. Can we influence the 20% that are not
sure
to get that down to 15%?
And there's got to be a reward to them, you know, because right now there's a reward. I got the new stereo. I got the new clothes. I got some new shoes. And I feel good about it, and I'm great about that. And they'll think about all this later. So when we talk to them, there's got to be a reward that you're going to feel miserable with all that stuff when you can't pay for it.
Well, now you're going to make me say things that kind of frustrate me. The social media aspect of our society has taught people, you and I included, did you get a thumbs up? Did you get a heart? Did you get a like? Did you get comments on something that you're posting?
Yeah.
And, you know, let me take a picture of my new shoes, my new shirt, my new car, my new whatever.
Right.
And you now have this whole trend of unboxing, unpackaging, where people display what they've bought and they show you the packaging and they unbox it and they get followers that way.
Right.
But you don't get people to say, good job, Russ.
Look at my bank statement.
You made it to retirement.
Right.
You have enough money to go golfing and not worry about it. You had a sad stat. I went and filled up my car with gas this morning. Wasn't even just random. But the pump, you know how it always shows the prior purchasers?
Yeah.
Okay. $6.
I hope it was a moped. Otherwise, they're in trouble.
$6 even. What does that tell you?
It's all the money they had.
They went in, handed $6 to the cashier, said, I need $6 on pump two, and it ran $6.
And they got home, and then who knows?
But you think about it, that nobody goes, hey, I'm so glad, Cindy, you have enough money in your bank to get to and from work.
You're not going
to
get a lot of likes.
You're not.
No.
And we teach people, don't talk about money, don't talk about politics, don't talk about, you know, religion.
Sex.
Well,
Can't talk about it.
You probably shouldn't.
Okay.
but when you talk about, hey, let's talk about financial responsibility.
I want everybody to get
to retirement.
Plus, you know, there's that image all the time. You know, like if I buy a sports car, then I'll get.
Oh, you must be successful.
I'll get a girlfriend like Cindy.
Absolutely.
It won't be a. You know, it's the only way I can make it in life is to show that I have it. You know, and then people will be attracted to me. And
did you ever read the book, The Millionaire Next Door?
Yes.
Isn't it interesting?
It's the opposite of what we're talking about.
Yeah, you know? it's the old, okay, you're Sam Walton driving the old Ford pickup truck. And yes, he could have bought any car ever he wanted driving the old truck. And it's okay.
And I think that's a good test to see if they really care about you. You know,
so
I married Helen, and I have a 1997 Suzuki.
She must really love you.
She must really like me a lot, because I'm sure friends have told her that.
Or she's not into air conditioning and creature comforts, one of the two.
I have air conditioning.
In the Suzuki?
Of course.
Okay. Just checking. Now, does she ride the e-bike with you?
She has.
Okay. So, but to you, do you have the cheapest, least expensive bike? No. You have nice e-bikes. So again, the social media aspect, I question if 20% of the people 18 to 29 are defaulting on their credit cards, are they buying things because of social media influence? And the answer is obviously yes, because that's the greatest marketing engine ever designed. And you say, wait a minute, did you need three pairs of those shoes?
No.
But you got one in tan and one in black and one in brown just because you could.
Right.
Or, you know, you see the old infomercial things. How many people got sucked into QVC and bought everything under the sun?
I know some.
Okay. Was it because they needed it?
No.
Or was it
It was a great deal. It was fantastic, and it'll solve problems I didn't know I had.
And was it also hoping you got on air, you got to talk to the host, you were one of those people, and then just before those stopped, you got the bi-directional thing where you could buy things on the internet through QVC, and it would scroll up the side of the screen.
You have too much information. You're a victim.
A victim? Or I'm just well informed.
You bought the QVC.
No, actually I didn't. I always enjoyed watching some of those going, who really needs that?
Yeah.
I mean, you created a demand for a product most people don't need, and you sold the snots out of it because you had great marketing.
Right.
It wasn't great packaging. It wasn't great anything. It was great television.
Yeah.
And you look around, what made you choose these headphones?
Price.
Was it price?
Yeah.
Okay. I guarantee I can find you cheaper headphones.
Maybe.
No, not maybe.
But it wouldn't worth my time to save a dollar.
Well, okay. Same thing. You know, you look around, yeah. And of these buy now, pay laters, I go back to the scariest one for me is when you say legitimately, based on this, one out of every two Americans in the U.S. have a buy now, pay later. I promise you it's not just one.
Probably.
That's the scariest thing. And here's, as a lender, what am I obligated to do when I'm sourcing people's debt-to-income ratio? I have to account for everything, right?
Well, yeah, you go through it all, and so, I don't know what you're obligated to. You're obligated to make sure they can afford the debt they're going to incur, but you do more than that.
The credit report shows your houses, your boats, your credit cards, your student loans, those types of things. Does a credit report show if you have an IRS payment plan?
I don't know.
Does not. If there's a IRS lien, there could be a lien attached, but not the monthly payments if you've just negotiated that way. Does it show if you have a Arizona income tax payment plan?
I doubt it.
Nope. So we have already established.
How do you find that?
Well, there's
you ask the question.
There's asking questions and there's some digging, and that's one of the reasons that lenders are obligated to ask for tax returns. So if I look at your tax return and it says you owed the IRS $10,000, do I need to get a record of account that shows whether you have paid that $10,000 or not?
I would assume so, because now you know.
Yeah. And if it comes back no, now I've got a federal debt that you are still obligated to. But when you look through the bank statement, I had a family. Now, it's super interesting because a bank statement comes out how often?
Every month.
Cool. Every 30 days. So every 30 days, there's a new canvas of things that we have to look at, right?
Right.
So we had a client. We need more money to close. Their process was to save money for the next 2 months. Great. So you identify everything on the bank statement.
Yeah.
And then you get the next month's bank statement that they go, yes, we have that much money in the bank. Great. Wait a minute. Five different buy now, pay laters.
Oh, those do show up on the bank statement, yeah.
On the bank statement, because you're making the payment out of your bank.
So then you have to ask what they are and how much you
owe. Then you have to ask, and so all of a sudden, the way they saved money is they were buying everything on buy now, pay later, so they could keep their money in the bank.
They didn't realize the whole aggregate would.
So now those five payments pushed them beyond where they could qualify. So because you have to count the income to debt ratio,
yep.
There's certain ones that you don't, but most of them you do. Now we had to have them pay off two of the five, which then dropped how much cash they had to close. So now they don't have enough cash to close. And you can see how this.
They could borrow it from Cindy.
Yes.
But then it's another debt. It doesn't work.
So you look at these things and you say, wait a minute, we've got to teach people how 1 + 1 = 2, how these things are interconnected. Yeah. Because when you look through people's bank statements, again, I'm not trying to be judgmental.
But you've seen it all the time.
Oh, it's in our industry. If you went up to anybody on any office in mortgage, and it's interesting because the real estate side doesn't see it, the mortgage people do. If you walked up to any mortgage lender that's a loan officer, a processor, an underwriter, and said, "How do you feel about Klarna Afterpay, buy now, pay later?" If their eyes don't roll back in their head, they turn bright red and they punch you in the face, I would be shocked.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to do
it. I wouldn't ask that. But it's that thing that it's an amazing product for a customer because they could buy now, pay later with no interest over four payments. But it opens up a whole can of worms from a lender's perspective that now we have to account for that payment.
I know you tell people this, but when they're in the process of buying a house, I know you plead with them. Don't buy anything. Don't do anything strange. Mm-hmm. Don't trade in a car. And yet they constantly do it.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, you meant really don't do it, I guess. I don't.
I email, I call, I mail, and I hand them a package that says don't do those things. So they get it four different ways from everybody within our office. Here's the problem. Remember we talked about QVC was the greatest marketing ever known to mankind?
Right.
Think about how these stores sell that service.
You don't have to pay for it.
Oh, it doesn't show up on your credit. Yeah. Nothing happens. There's no
Eric
interest.
He told me not to pay.
They are literally
told. I'm not paying. They're giving me.
It doesn't show up on the credit report.
It's true.
And it's true if you don't default.
Doesn't mean you aren't going to know.
That's the problem is as soon as it shows up on the bank statement, okay, it's clearly going to be something we have to account for. You know, you're on air here. Could I be on air 4 weeks and then have to pay you, Cindy? Cool. Okay, so I get to be here 4 weeks, but you're still going to want money. Okay, so same thing with the Klarnas, the afterpays. You can go take the product home, but you're still going to have to pay them, which means we as a lender still have to account for it.
You have to.
So you look at all of these things, and I love the data points. Cindy's now looking at my chart. I think she needs new glasses because she's squinting awfully hard trying to see that. But the data points also prove to me there's an opportunity for us to do a little bit more of an influence in our community. Do we teach our nieces, nephews, sons, daughters, grandsons?
No, because we got parents that should be teaching them that don't know it themselves.
Now, none of this is remotely important as compared to what we did yesterday. Truthfully, you know, in my industry, I get to see the income levels of the enlisted soldiers, you know, E3s that are making about $30,000 a year. And when I say about that, that's all in.
Yeah.
And these men and women are pledging all the way up until and sometimes including their life for you and I to have these lives underneath the flag within this country. Nothing we do talking about radio and tires and credit is remotely that important. But if they're going to sacrifice that, that's how important the flag retirement ceremony was to me yesterday. This stuff, we need to be educating, even if they call you an old salty jack wagon, because I know they will. Even if they call me a judgmental jack wagon, okay, I still want to help you budget and put these things together. Because you know what? In the next 20 years, it's not a get rich quick. It's a be wealthy slowly process.
And live comfortably. Stay within a budget. Be happy.
Isn't that a song?
Something like that.
Okay. Don't worry, be happy. Yeah. Come on, who was that?
That is a song.
It is.
But I don't know who sings it.
I'm watching to see if you can pull that up. So it looks like you want to take a break. Why do you keep doing that?
So I get Cindy out of here.
All right. Well, this is Money Talk AM560 KBLU. This is Derek Hagerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
And he looks at her and says, "Hey, darling, I can remember when you could start with love. Oh, but ain't that America? You and me, ain't that America? Something to see, baby, ain't that America? Home on the free, yeah.
Hey, Yuma, good morning. 8:51 on a, it really is a gorgeous morning out there, but it's going to be hot. It's yeah. It was a little sticky already walking into the office here. So it's going to be a great weekend. I know there's a lot of people who are not even in town working. You talked about that. The roads seemed very empty on the way both to the office this morning and here.
My shop's closed today.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm
What if I need something today?
Then you're out of luck.
Come on.
We take care of you.
Okay, so here's an interesting thing. Looking at data points, if you added up the total amount of real estate and what it would cost within the United States and the total amount of real estate and what it would cost within China, which is worth more?
United States.
Nope.
Really?
Yep. There was another data point that came out that they're slightly ahead.
China is ahead? Uh-huh. I mean, obviously, they're a lot bigger, more people, all that kind of stuff, but the average prices are not as high.
But there's more of it. But the reason I say that, and here's another data point, if you polled people in Canada, does the average consumer in Canada expect interest rates to go up or down for mortgages?
Up.
Cool. So they say up. But you see the news media talking about here in the United States, oh, interest rates are coming down. Oh, we expect the Federal Reserve to make the first cut.
Because the Federal, I mean, they're hinting at that because it's political.
But the Fed doesn't actually control interest rates for mortgages. They control
the borrowing rate.
They control the short-term window. They control what the banks
can pay.
Correct.
So it affects everything.
But bonds are sold on Wall Street. So the price a bond sells for is what determines the interest rate. So really what you're hoping for is a confidence level, and this is my non-economist voice. If interest rates go down, doesn't that mean more money is flooding into the bond market?
Technically.
Cool. So if money flows into the bond market, where is it coming out of?
I don't know.
There's only bonds and equities.
Okay.
So if it's coming out of the stock market and flowing into bonds, or it's flowing out of the real estate market, the tangible assets, and into bonds, literally what you're saying is if bond interest rates get better, that means more money's flowing in. Bonds are typically seen as something as a hedge against something negative. It's a safety cushion.
Yeah. It's not going to take the big hits.
So the Fed can't make interest rates lower. Only the market thinking, wait a minute, we need to start putting money away in more of a secure area can make bonds cheaper, or I should say interest rates cheaper. Now, all of a sudden, you say, well, wait a minute, if the market, the media is telling me interest rates are going to come down, and how many lenders, and this frustrates me, how many lenders have said, oh, we'll refinance you in 6 to 12 months when interest rates come down? Really?
They can't say that, can they? Can they?
I'm pretty gosh darn good with this, and I don't even have a crystal ball that clear that I can tell you when that's going
to
happen.
Is it legal for them to say that?
Well, I don't think it's ethical or moral. It is legal because they say, you know, if you add the when interest rates come down, okay, you didn't specify a date. But truthfully,
wow. I wouldn't trust anybody who told me that.
Truthfully, if you say, you know what, I would phrase it this way. Russ, do you think interest rates are coming down or going up in the next 2 to 3 years?
Going up.
Okay. If they're going up, then you know we want to do this 30-year fixed because it's a secure vehicle,
right,
and you don't have to worry about interest rates, right, ever changing.
Right.
Now, if you turned around and said, hey, wait a minute, I think you personally think interest rates are going to go down, great. Well, then you have the option to refinance if and when interest rates come down. I can't ever promise that. But if they come down, you know, we'll call, we'll text, we'll email, and we'll talk to you about it. However, be thrilled with that 30-year fixed, because what if interest rates went to 8, 9, 10?
Okay.
Wouldn't
you want to be in fixed?
There you go. And I see a lot of dumb decisions.
On variable rates?
On variable rates and what people are told and how people are marketed. You know, again, there is no interest rate of the day.
No.
There's an average. There's an aggregate. But
depends on too many variables.
Interest rates run in a range. And so like right now today, if you wanted a 30-year fixed, depending on program or credit, you might have a 5% and you could have an 8%. That 3 percentage point spread is all based on what's called LLPAs, loan level price adjustments by Fannie, by Freddie, by the Jennies, but also based on how many discount points you want to pay.
Right.
Can you almost always buy your rate down 1% to 2% lower than market?
Yes.
Cool. So when you see some of these billboards that are offering things that start with a 4, do you just chuckle and go, wow, I wonder what they're going to pay for that?
No, I think they have a better deal than you.
Hmm. And you know what? Here's how I would phrase that. If you had tax issues, if you had things that you needed write-offs for, if you knew you're going to be in this home for a long period of time, and if we think those ding-dongs in Washington are going to continue screwing it up, I'm not opposed to actually paying 3 or 4 discount points, because you get to write those things off, talk to your CPA or financial advisor, and there may be a reason to do it. But the two-income school teachers that are making $60,000 a year that don't have the extra money to actually do that and probably won't even be teaching here in Yuma in 5 years, because it seems like everybody moves in, teaches, and then leaves. Is that couple the right one that should buy a lot of discount points to get that lower rate?
They don't have it, probably, and it wouldn't make sense.
But marketing, what are most people sold?
The rate.
The rate.
The rate's the most important thing.
Which is truly garbage.
Yeah.
It's program, it's cash flow, it's sitting down and having a plan. And truly, look, this is a how do you get wealthy slowly by living. I'm not trying to get rich.
Live within your means, number one.
I don't want to scratch a lottery ticket. It's just a process.
You
I mean,
don't?
No.
Did you know? Sidebar.
Sidebar. Give it to me.
A friend of mine, I was looking at a lottery ticket. He said, look at my lottery ticket. And I did, you know, and he won $500, which is kind of nice.
And knowing you, you asked him how much money he spent.
Well, I did. But I looked at how much the ticket itself cost.
How much?
Do you know? $50. I didn't know they had a
$50. A $50 lottery ticket?
I didn't know they had them.
A scratcher?
A scratcher. A $50 scratcher. I didn't know. Shows you how out of touch I am.
Wow.
And I said, that's impossible. He says, oh, no, they have $100 scratcher.
Wow.
I had no idea.
I don't even know how to process that. So you could waste $50 for a scratch. And
no, he won $500.
Well, but that means at least 10 people behind him lost.
No, he never showed me any of the losers.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say. But for one person to win $500, you know they had to take in $1,000 or $2,000. So, you know.
Possibly.
It is interesting. There's a lot of data points to look out there.
15 seconds or so.
Thank you to all of the active duty and retired men and women of the armed forces of this great country. Thank you for allowing us to have the 4th of July and celebrate the birth of the nation yesterday. We appreciate your sacrifice and service so us jack wagons can be on air talking whatever we want to. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.